Colonel Alan King was asked by his boss at CPA to write out talking points for a meeting with Sadr's deputies to arrange a ceasefire. King listed several issues for discussion, but the main one was an offer that U.S. forces would pull back from the streets of Sadr City and stay mainly on their bases near the area. That was the crux. Climb down from a military confrontation, said King. His thinking was that after a stand-down, the U.S. authorities would instead try to use the tribal leaders to confront Sadr. But King was taken by surprise. Without his knowledge, his boss passed his paper to Bremer, who in turn gave it to Sanchez, who then turned it over to the commander of the 1st Armored Division, Martin Dempsey. The next day, King's phone rang. "Alan," said a voice, which King quickly recognized as that of Dempsey, under whom he had served for a period after the 3rd ID left Iraq. "Yes, sir," said King. "You motherfucker," Dempsey said, his voice intense with anger, King recalled. "If you ever tell me what to do with my division again, I will cut your fucking nuts off." Then he hung up. After that, King avoided Dempsey. But under a deal reached on May 27, both Sadr and the Americans withdrew their forces from Najaf and the nearby town of Kufa. Despite weeks of insistence by U.S. officials that his militias give up their weapons, Sadr was not required to surrender or disarm. Though the CPA would not admit this publicly, noted Larry Diamond, the former CPA official, U.S. forces later that summer would go back into Najaf and clean out the Sadr militia there. But Sadr's forces would remain in Sadr City and launch an average of more than 100 attacks a week in August and September. They also began establishing a major presence in Basra and some other southern cities. Sadr also established an alliance of sorts with former Pentagon favorite Ahmed Chalabi. Of the 6 major deputies to Sadr who had been arrested, 4 eventually were released. Meanwhile, in Fallujah, with the Marines withdrawn and the Fallujah Brigade fallen apart, the Sunni insurgents and their foreign allies were digging in. They spent months building dirt berms, sniper positions, fighting bunkers, and roadblocks. Fallujah effectively became a huge, city-sized anti-American fortress. "It was a closed city," said Captain Stephen Winslow, a Marine historian who spent much of 2004 in or around Fallujah. They owned it. That outcome deepened the ill will between some Army and Marine officers. "When the 82nd was in Fallujah and Eastern Al-Anbar in 2003 through 4, said General Swanick, its commander, "it operated with precision, attacking small groups. But after that," he said, "Fallujah became a quagmire because the large-scale operation conducted by the Marines had worked to alienate the population." But that assessment seems unfair. After all, Mattis had gone in with a plan to engage the population, only to be overruled and ordered to launch an aggressive attack.